if you're listening to Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at 7 on The Morning Show, there's been lots of snow and freezing rain lately and a lot of road maintenance to go along with it. Kate Archer Kent talks to a state official about how state, county, and local governments try and keep the roads clear and then takes a look at the environmental impact of using road salt. That's tomorrow morning at 7 here on the Ideas Network. Now, a recent study from the think tank COWS suggests that Wisconsin could increase energy-related jobs and keep money within the state's borders if it moved away from using fossil fuels. The study also finds that the move could improve the environment and public health in the state. Katia Speer is a senior associate at COWS, and David Abel is a postdoctoral researcher there. They co-authored a study examining the impact on the state's economy if Wisconsin moved to renewable energy. David, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
And Katia, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Katia, what was the goal behind this study?
The goal was really a thought exercise that we worked with the County of La Crosse with. So we work with the county and a number of cities and counties around the state on a number of different projects. And this was, the goal was really to see if this was possible, to see what the benefits, the potential benefits of moving total in-state energy production would be.
And one of the starting points, David, is the idea that we have an energy spending deficit in the state. What does that mean?
Exactly. So we recognize the fact that Wisconsin relies pretty heavily on fossil fuels for a lot of our energy needs, but the state doesn't actually have any fossil fuel resources. And that means we spend about $14 billion on energy every year that leaves the state.
And Katia, as I understand the report, this isn't the roadmap for how we get from here to there, right? There's a lot of details that would have to get sorted out.
Absolutely. This report shows a lot of potential to benefit the state in both jobs, the economy, and the environment, but it does not lay out a roadmap of how we get there.
Now, David, before we get into the report, I mean, we're hearing reports that our use of solar energy, there's news out today, has gone up a little bit in the state. I think a 3% increase in solar energy jobs, if I heard the newscast right. Are you seeing steps in this direction so far?
Absolutely, and a lot of it comes from the pricing side. Solar and wind and a lot of these technologies are getting cheap on their own, and that's driving a move towards that already. What we find is that if we can continue that and push that, then we'll find even more job and economic benefits for the state.
And David, let's start with the state's energy needs. Break down our energy needs and where they come in from, the different sectors of the state.
Yeah, so basically the big sectors are transportation, residential and commercial building demand, and industry. And it's roughly about third, if you want to put it in numbers. It's a little bit different than that. But what we find is that if you can electrify some of those sectors that traditionally aren't relying on electric power, like the transportation sector, you can actually see huge efficiency gains on the order of 4 or 5 times as efficient.
And Katia, the report looks at a lot of different possible energy sources. Without digging into the numbers, to start with, what are some of the different energy sources that would be part of this homegrown energy mix?
Sure. We look at traditional renewable energy sources like wind and solar, geothermal. Those are the classic ones. David, do you want to talk to a little bit more of the details?
Yeah, wind and solar are big ones. I think you can't forget that energy efficiency really is a resource that we can invest in making our energy use more efficient and using less energy from solar and wind to begin with. There's also biomass and nuclear, some more cutting-edge technologies like enhanced geothermal or wind on Lake Michigan, for example. Mm.
Talking to Katia Speer and David Abel from the think tank COWS, looking at a new report on the possible impacts on the state's economy of switching from using fossil fuels brought in from out of state to homegrown alternative energy sources. Katia, let's talk about jobs now. Can you talk about the kind of jobs, the hopes that you would have for job creation in a conversion like this?
Yes. So, Wisconsin is right now, one of the big takeaways is we're spending a lot of money on importing this fuel, right? So the key here is to transition to in-state resources so that we can bring those jobs and those benefits of those jobs back to the state of Wisconsin.
And David, can you talk about job numbers? And looking into your report, it looks like it's kind of complicated to figure this out and people have different ways of estimating it. That said, what kind of things did you see?
Yeah, it's complicated to do this sort of calculation, but what we see is regardless of which method you use, you're going to see an increase in jobs if we produce our energy from sources that we have in-state. What we find is that it's about a doubling of jobs. There are roughly 150,000 jobs in energy right now in the state, and we see an increase of about 160,000.
And what are some of the sectors of energy production that you would be looking at jobs in? The what we hear a lot about is the idea of utility grade solar. Is that a big part of where those jobs might come from?
A lot of that would come in solar, yeah. Wind is another big piece. Wisconsin already is a leader in the country in energy efficiency jobs, and we'd expect that to grow as well.
And part of the, I guess, concept here, Katya, is people often think of jobs versus the environment. Are you partly trying to make the case here that alternative energy sources give a little bit of both benefits?
Yeah, I think that this report really shows that the trade-off between jobs and the environment and between the economy and clean energy jobs just isn't real. The other piece of this, right, is that to really realize the potential talked about in this report, that we really need good federal, state, and local government policies to create and incentivize the renewable energy options that will create the demand for those jobs.
And do you see movements toward those kind of policies at the state or local level in particular?
Yeah, my work focuses primarily with cities in Wisconsin and around the country. And I have to say that one of the big takeaways for me is that when we talk to local governments in and outside the state, this is not a partisan issue, right? This is a jobs issue. This is an economy issue, sometimes an environmental issue, but it's not a partisan issue.
And let's talk about some of the environmental and public health benefits. You do touch on those in the report some, David. What kind of things do you look at?
Absolutely. So the big things that we look at are emissions, and that's emissions in two senses. One is greenhouse gases and climate change, but that actually turns out to be a small factor compared to air pollution. A lot of fossil fuels, when you burn them, they release a lot of different bad things into the air. A lot of them are horrible to breathe. So it turns out getting rid of them can save something like, I'll pull out a number really quick, 1,900 lives per year, 35,000 almost cases of asthma, 148,000 work loss days a year. All of those public health benefits just come from not breathing in some of the harmful pollution that comes from burning things.
And Katya, as you talk to people at the local level, is there a reaction like, okay, yes, these things all sound lovely, but the initial investment, the difficulty of going from where we are to there, does it stand out as a big roadblock?
I don't think that it's harder than sticking with business as usual, and I think that people recognize that in local governments and residents from around the state.
Can you talk about some communities you've talked to or worked with who are taking interesting efforts along these lines?
Yeah, well, we know that right here in Madison, they're passing a renewable energy policy. Also, in our work at COWS, we work closely with cities and counties around the state through the Green Tier Legacy Community Network, which is a coalition of Wisconsin local governments focused on sustainability, led by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And there we really we're hearing some great leadership out of places like Eau Claire, Sheboygan, La Crosse, really a myriad of places around the state.
And David, at the national level, there's this new program or this resolution introduced by some Democrats called the Green New Deal. Details, the fine print isn't really out there yet, but looking at it, what do you see?
I see a recognition that perhaps there are a lot of win-win solutions where we can actually benefit the economy while also focusing on things that would be considered green and have often had that maybe a negative stigma associated with them. And I think if it focuses on these win-win solutions like we're trying to outline, then it would be a boon for Wisconsin and the people of the U.S. in general.
We're talking to Katya Speer and David Abel from the think tank COWS. They're with us to look at a study they co-authored exploring the impact on the state's economy and job scene, as well as public health and environment, if Wisconsin moved to renewable energy instead of importing fossil fuels from out of state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guests about their report? What do you think about what you're hearing? And do you see in your community efforts to make the switch, at least in part, from fossil fuels to renewable energy? What does that look like in your town? Is this something you're doing maybe on your rooftop right now? Or do you work in an energy-related job? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our look at a new report on the potential impact of renewable energy on Wisconsin's economy. Katia Speer and David Abel are the co-authors of the report from the think tank COWS. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see your local community, the state as a whole, move more toward renewable energy, more away from fossil fuels? What would you like to see happen? Are you seeing this happen where you live? And how is it affecting your local economy? Do you work in an energy field right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. To your calls now, Doug is with us in Haywood. Doug, hi.
Hello.
Hi, what did you want to bring up, Doug?
Well, just a general comment that I have on reducing our carbon footprint and addressing climate change is that I think in some regards the people who would tend to be leaders, higher profile people and so on, do more talking the talk and walking the walk. And by that I mean you can hear people talk about being excited about changing their lights to LEDs and so forth, and yet we're still using way more electricity for air conditioning than the rest of the world. I heard a report recently, we got 5% of the population, and yet in the United States, we use 40% of the world's air conditioning.
Doug, thanks for the call. Doug saying maybe we need to change our personal attitudes to do things like more energy conservation. Katia?
I mean, I think it also speaks to the need for good public policy on these things, right? Because the state and local governments can lead by example through things like greening our fleets, passing policies, smart growth policies, and land use practices that focus on infill and density. So I think a lot of times we focus at the individual level when a lot of that leadership needs to come from the state and local governments.
Doug, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Paul with us in Lincoln County. Paul, hello.
Good afternoon. The local government is kind of right up my alley. I'm a county board supervisor here in Lincoln County. There are some of us who have been trying to figure out how to put some solar apparatus on county-owned buildings, partly for the energy saving itself, partly as a demonstration project. But we are continually stymied by the lack of funds. That is to say, we can't raise our levy limits because of what the legislature has done, and the state has no programs to assist local government in the installation of such solar apparatus. So we're kind of confronted with this do-nothing, think-nothing lethargy in regard to climate change and alternative energy, and it's a really hard box to get out of.
Paul, thanks a lot for the call. And Katia, this sounds like it's part of what you've worked on with local governments, or either of you can tackle this. What kind of incentives might help a situation like Paul in Lincoln County there?
Well, I'll jump in with this just to say that this is why in the report we did it as sort of a goal-setting exercise instead of trying to prescribe a pathway to actually doing this, and that any steps that we can take would be beneficial. We've got a long way to go before we're 100% reliant on in-state energy. But any steps that could be made, such as putting solar panels on county buildings, would help us get there. And again, it relies on some of these policies and procedures being in place to actually make that happen. So we've talked about a lot of different structures that are possible, but don't really advocate for any of them in particular. And if you would like some advice or possibly talking more about this, feel free to reach out to us. But unfortunately, nothing more specific than that now.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about renewable energy in Wisconsin. Our guests are Katia Speer and David Abel from the group COWS, talking about a new report on the potential economic benefits of switching from fossil fuels to locally produced alternative energy sources here in Wisconsin. We'll go next to Alfred in Oconomowoc. Alfred, hello.
Hello. I'm so glad you guys are getting the word out. I work with a solar installer that's in 23 states, and I work with homeowners to put solar on their roofs. And a couple of quick comments. One, we are seeing increases in renewable in the state, about a 30% increase in the past year alone. Our state does not have an incentive program, as probably has been discussed, as compared to other states. And the main challenge for a homeowner wanting to do this on their own is the perception of how long does it cost to pay it off. And they don't ask that question, or no one asks that question, about anything other than solar, in my experience. But in either case, the people that are installing solar have a stewardship to the world, and that's part of their green dynamic in deciding. The other green is the money side of things. There are states that, as a state itself, provide incentives. In Massachusetts, for example, and I think that program is sunsetting because they've had such dramatic growth, the state gave you money over a 10-year period, so in effect, in 10 years, you were net neutral. And the purpose of doing that, obviously, is to deal with carbon and the climate change from that. So my hope is that people will rise up and work with the state to get it, you know, better going forward.
Alfred, thanks a lot for your call. Katia, can guidance from at the state level, in this case, as Alfred is talking about, make a difference in something like whether people are putting up solar panels?
I mean, I think state leadership is key here, but so are, he brings up a good point about taking advantage of financing tools and creative financing tools. I think that we can do a better job at the local, county, and state level for that. So one example that is available here in the state of Wisconsin to Wisconsin counties is PACE financing, or Property Assessed Clean Energy Financing, that helps businesses pay for some of those upfront costs.
Thanks a lot for calling in and sharing your experience. David, I want to talk about some of the different sources out there. In your report, you break down the utility type solar and then the rooftop solar we were just hearing about. Also, when it comes to wind, people think wind farms, you see those on land. You also look at the potential for offshore wind in Wisconsin. Do we even have any of that now?
Yeah, absolutely. We do not have any yet. And actually, one of the big barriers is how do we get the equipment that is large enough to install these things into the Great Lakes. But the National Renewable Energy Lab, and they do a lot, they're part of the Department of Energy, they assess all of these technologies every few years, and they assess that Wisconsin has a huge potential, technical potential for the technology.
Right, and you look at national reports, and there are people out there grading us in some ways on the potential for all these different kinds of energy, the solar, the wind, and some of the other ones you've talked about. We have a lot of untapped potential, it sounds like.
Absolutely. If I remember the numbers correctly, it's something like 30 times the amount of energy we use right now is what we actually have the potential for, using only in-state sources.
And Katia, we've mentioned a couple times energy conservation ultimately as an energy source or lowering the demand, however you want to do the math. Is that another place where you see untapped potential in Wisconsin?
I think that it's an endless source of untapped potential. I think we've done a lot of work on energy efficiency over the years, but I think that there's always opportunities to do more at the individual, business, and local government level. I think there's a lot of opportunity there.
David, we've just got a few minutes left, and I want to start getting to some final points here. Is there anything else in the report that you're hoping people are paying attention to, apart from what we've already touched on?
You know, I hope people pay attention to just the fact that this is a win-win, and it was meant to kind of describe this problem that we spend $14 billion that leave the state and come up with a solution that really benefits the economy and the people and the environment of Wisconsin.
And Katia, who are you hoping takes this report and runs with it one way or another?
I think there's a lot to learn for everybody coming out of this report. And the big takeaway for me here is that, again, this doesn't have to be a fight or a trade-off between jobs and the environment or between the economy and the environment. The numbers here in this report make a good case that we can do both. And now it's up to our elected officials at the state and the local level to pass really informed policies that promote energy efficiency and renewable energy while focusing on that component of equities and making sure that the benefits of green jobs and opportunities to live in healthy communities benefit all Wisconsinites.
And David, having done this report, what are the gaps? What are the next studies you'd like to see, whether you're the one doing them or somebody else, when it comes to renewables in the state?
Well, I think the obvious question is, how do we get there, right? So that's the one thing I would like to see is, again, see leadership take up some first steps and present some options, and we'd be happy to help come up with that list. But the second thing I think is, from a more academic standpoint, is an integration study to say, how does this all work together and how does it fit within the entire eastern U.S.'s existing grid? And is what we present actually doable and possible, and on what time frame?
And Katia, do you see a movement? Again, you work with people in local communities around the country. Do you see people getting more excited about the potential for renewables?
Absolutely. As the cost comes down, both at the individual business and state and local policy scale, people are getting really excited about the opportunities.
We'll leave it there for now. Katia, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And David, thanks for coming up.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Katia Speer, Senior Associate at the think tank COWS. David Abel is with us, postdoctoral researcher at COWS. We've been talking about a new report from the group that they worked on. It examines the impact on Wisconsin's economy if Wisconsin were to move to renewable energy instead of bringing out-of-state fossil fuels into Wisconsin. Still time for you to weigh in with your thoughts, or maybe, as some of our callers did, your own experiences if you work in the alternative energy field. You can email ideas at WPR.org. You can always post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR.